Hello and welcome to my podcast. I'm Dr. John Cook. Today you have joined us in our continuing study on the subject of theology. These lessons are geared to train men for the ministry. There is nothing original with me in these lessons, as there is nothing new under the sun according to the Word of God. We'll get right into our lesson on backsliding right after this. We now join in progress our continuing study. This is part 2 of 5. Once again, we cannot lose our salvation, even if we're backslidden in heart, devotionally speaking. For the scriptures are plain that we are safe and secure in the Savior. For as we have seen already, we did not get saved by the works of the law. We are not kept by the works of the law. It is all of grace and not of works. That's what Romans 11 and verse 6 says. If it's by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So we must face the fact that salvation is all of grace and not of works. The Christian is in Christ Jesus and cannot fall out of Christ. This is what Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39 says. Listen to it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The scriptures state plainly, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now look at what John chapter 10, verse 27 and 30 say. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We can never perish because we're in the Savior's hand, and we're in the Father's hand. Is it possible for a Christian to fall? Absolutely. But he'll get up again. We're not talking about him falling out of Christ. We're talking about him falling in Christ. There's a big difference, for example, between falling in a plane up in the air and falling out of a plane. It's a really big difference and a long drop. So we may fall in Christ, but we can never fall out of Christ. The Christian may get cold and leave his first love, just like in Revelation chapter 2 we read concerning the church at Ephesus. It says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Here we see the church at Ephesus, how they had left their first love, their love for the Savior and his service, their love for souls. My, when we get saved, how excited we are, and how in love with the Savior we are. We can't wait to tell others about him. But something happens. Maybe times of difficulty. Maybe falling back into old sin. Something causes us to lose that first love for the Savior. That's what happened to the church at Ephesus. They were still a church, and as such would face the chastening of God. But they just didn't have the fervor for the Lord, the zeal for his service that they once had. And the Lord wanted them to get it back. Not to get back in him, but to fall in love with him once more. To love him like they used to love him. To love him like the day they got saved. This speaks to our hearts and the heart of every Christian that's lost that first love. We must get it back. Don't be content with a heart that's grown cold toward the Savior. The Christian may get out of fellowship with God, turning from the simplicity of the gospel of salvation to that which is no gospel at all. He may be fooled by the enemy That's what we read about in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. They have been fooled into turning from the gospel message to that which was no gospel. Look, listen to what he says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 7. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Notice that they had turned to that which was no gospel. No gospel message at all. Know this. If they could fall, then we most certainly can fall. We have to be always on our guard against those that would seek to trick us into turning from the true to the false, from the gospel to that which is no gospel. Think about Demas. The Bible speaks about Demas. Consider that he was a fellow laborer, but he became a forsaker. Here was a man that served with one who we might say was the greatest Christian of all, excluding the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul. We read about him in Philemon, and there it says about Demas. There's Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Imagine, if you will, here was one who worked side by side with the Apostle Paul. Certainly could have drawn on the strength of the Apostle, but no, he was drawn away by the strength of this world. Because 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What was it that drew him away and ultimately caused him to quit the man of God? Demas fell in love with this present world. That's why he ran away from the service of God to what was arguably the greatest soul-winning church of his time. You see, his backsliding was in his heart, but it showed up in his running away from the service of God, running for the things of the world. This world and its attractions can easily trap us and draw us away from our service to God. We must be on our guard constantly against the allurements of this world, or like Demas, we will fall. In the Old Testament, we find a type of a backslider in Lot. You see, Lot was drawn away by covetousness, by the lust of his eyes. Just as the Bible says, we can be drawn away by the lust of our eyes. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16 says, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Notice that God warns us, all that is in the world is not of the Father, but is of the world. This world seeks only to draw us away from serving the Savior. If the devil can't keep us from getting saved, he will settle for keeping us from living like we're saved. It was lust that drew Lot to pitch his tent toward Sodom. Genesis 13:10 says, Lot lifted up his eyes. There's the problem. Started with his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. The devil makes his country look pretty good, doesn't he? Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, that is. Don't miss it. That was before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord. Note, it was as the garden of the Lord. Satan's a counterfeiter. He gives a counterfeit appearance. He'll make it look like something God created, something God wanted, like the land of Egypt, but it's just what the world is, just like Egypt stands for the world. My, what he saw with his eyes. Everything looked beautiful, but the plan, Satan's plan, was to lead him and his own into disaster and destruction. Now, Lot didn't see that plan. He only accepted the bait. That's how the devil traps us, through the eye gate. Before the story was over, he lost it all. Like Achan of old, he saw, he coveted, he took. The wrong path always leads to the wrong result. Lot made a bad choice, like so many today make. Instead of going up, he went down. Instead of saying, like Caleb, give me this mountain, Lot chose the plain. I'll take the plains, Lot says, and Sodom to go with it. Oh, he didn't set out to move to Sodom. He only pitched his tent towards Sodom. But that's exactly where he ended up, because when we come to Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1, which is just six chapters after Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, Genesis chapter 13, 6 chapters later, Genesis chapter 19, Lot sat in the gate of Sodom when the angels came to bring judgment on Sodom. The men of Sodom said he wanted to be a judge in Sodom. Now, he never intended this, but it came, and it came with total loss before it was over. Are these the kind of neighbors that a righteous man would choose? Are these the kind of neighbors that a father would choose to move his family toward? No doubt the answer would be no. That's not a choice we would make. But that's exactly what Lot chose. Why? Because of compromise. Because of the lust of his eyes. We have to be on our guard, Christian. Watch out, Christian. Because the devil uses all sorts of allurements from this world to lead us away from our service for God. So we see again that God's command to us is, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Everything in this world is headed for destruction. This world will pass away, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Look at it. Listen to what it says. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Boy, there's global warming, if you ever seen it. But you ain't seen nothing yet. If you think global warming is today, just stick around. No, don't stick around. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we don't mind if this world passes away. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, looking for the new heaven and the new earth. This will cause us to see all that is around us as just what it is used to be, and that is a distraction. We are determined not to be distracted, but we, as a good friend of mine who's now at home with the Lord, used to say, keep looking up and listen for the shout. We do not live for this world, but we live for the Savior. As good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we are not to get tangled or entangled with this world. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4 says, no man that warreth and entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Lot's choosing to follow the life of compromise led to his being captured by the enemy in Genesis chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. Listen to it. They took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Notice that the world, the flesh, and the devil seeks only to get us into its territory in order to capture us, to take us prisoners. The only way that Lot escaped from having been captured was through his godly uncle Abraham, who came down and delivered him. This is a good example for us as God's people. That is that we seek to deliver those who have been captured by the devil, by the world, and by the flesh. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, and verse 25 and 26 says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. God may just use our prayers on the behalf of our weak brother to deliver him like Abraham delivered Lot. This concludes part 2 of 5 in our study. Make sure and join us once again for part 3 of 5. Until then, God bless his own.